Jeremiah joins us on our IM Flash Hotline now. JJ, what's going on?
Hey, I'm making my OC and Hackett debut. How you guys doing?
Oh, my goodness. We're happy to have you, sir. And and look, Tom is Tom's a little exhausted because that was his first Jazz playoff home playoff game ever.
This is what it's like, Tom. It is exhausting. It's just, and it's an emotional roller coaster every game. It's crazy.
I had the time of my life there. I'll let you know. I thought Red Bull was going to give me wings, and it did not. But I was there in attendance, shirt off, screaming on top of the old media table.
You might have to switch to a harder beverage next time to get through it.
You make a great point. Don't tell me that twice, JJ.
All right, so be honest with me here. Going into this weekend, what did you think the results were going to be? Before Friday night's game, did you think it was going to be a 1-1 split? I thought that the Utah Jazz were going to be able to pull both of them off. What were your initial thoughts heading into the weekend?
The way the first two games went and the way things were going in this series, not knowing if Rudy was going to be back, to be honest with you guys, I thought a 1-1 split was probably how it was going to go. I thought it was actually going to be reversed. I thought the Jazz would probably win game three. The Clippers would make some adjustments. Chris Paul's too good. And they would come back and win game four. I didn't foresee Blake Griffin getting injured and the Clippers rallying around him and winning game three. I did not see or foresee what was going to happen in game four with Rudy coming back, Gordon missing because of food poisoning, and Joe Johnson turning back the clock and playing like an all-star in the fourth quarter. It's been a very unpredictable series, but I could have predicted that it would have been a split because that's just how this series has gone so far. It was split in L.A., split in Salt Lake. Makes a lot of sense, and what a series. It's been fun, but anything but predictable, that's for sure.
Will the basketball gods shine on the Utah Jazz and finally allow Gordon Hayward to stop pooping himself and for Rudy Gobert to finally play with each other on the floor at the same time?
I think the Utah Jazz have been through enough adversity that it's finally time that the basketball gods bless them with whatever hardship or whatever lessons they've learned and earned here and finally give them a break and allow them to be healthy for at least one game. My goodness. It's been an unbelievable run of just silly things that have happened to this team, little injuries here or there, lingering injuries. Gordon Hayward gets food poisoning after scoring 40 points. Just a lot of stuff. It just you wonder, I mean, how is this happening? And it's happened constantly to this team throughout the season. But, you know, if Gordon's okay, if he's been able to bounce back from this food poisoning, and there's no reason why in 48 hours he should be able to do that, if he's healthy and ready to go for game five, you finally got a Jazz team that looks to be at full strength, and if Derek Favors can play the way he did in game four, and if Rudy Gobert is fine and Gordon's fine, you're finally going to have a full lineup for the Jazz while the Clippers are hurting right now, although they do get Austin Rivers back, but no Blake Griffin. I got to give the Jazz the edge in this best of three series, which is what it's really become.
Was there a better offseason acquisition around the NBA than Joe Johnson to the Utah Jazz?
Wow, I mean, you got to start with Kevin Durant with the Warriors, right? But after that, I think you can debate whether he was, now that we've seen what he's been able to do. And you add in the fact that he really was brought here at a bargain price, at $10 million. He's worth every penny, and they got him back next year too.
Yeah.
To bring in a guy like that who's a 6-7-time All-Star, who's been there, done that, who's hit more buzzer-beating shots than any NBA player in the last 10 years. 8 times he's won games at the buzzer, which is remarkable. To be able to bring that guy into your lineup and have him perform the way he has, I'm trying to think of anybody else outside of Kevin Durant that's had that much of a free agent impact. And if you add into the value that player has brought, I think he's top 5, and you know, I'd make the argument top 3, maybe the second best free agent acquisition. You can throw maybe a couple other names in there, but that's what I would think. He's been phenomenal, and what a steal it's been for the Jazz to get him to come here and be that veteran presence and a guy that can still, at his age, take over a game in the fourth when it matters.
And just for the sake of this first round of the playoffs, he's had more of an impact on the Jazz in this first round than Kevin Durant has on the Warriors because Durant obviously dealing with a calf strain. It's like a guy like Joe, and I know that even Jazz management couldn't have predicted that this kind of contribution was coming. But how important do you think it is from Joe's perspective to be given kind of this late career resurgent chance not just to be a role player and be a guy, but in these two games, been the guy.
Well, I think it's something I think that's one of the reasons why he came here. I think he saw a young team that needed him. He saw a young team with a lot of potential and some great talent around him. But I think his minute restrictions somewhat, I don't know if you want to call them restrictions, but I think they all had, there was some strategy behind him coming off the bench. There was some strategy with the minutes he played in games this year to kind of build up to this point where he had the legs, he had the energy, and he was fresh and ready to go when it really mattered in the playoffs. And this is where we're seeing that strategy pay off. He looks like he's in his 20s. He looks like an elite player in these games, and they're really getting the best of him. And I think this may be the role that he envisioned himself having, not knowing how good this team could be, but realizing the potential and seeing the role that he could play on this team and having a chance to be in a moment like this where at the age of 35, when a lot of people had written him off, that he's making major plays and a major contribution in an NBA playoff series.
JJ, we've seen four games now of this Jazz-Clippers matchup in the playoffs. Given the fact that Gordon will be healthy, hopefully, for game five in LA, Rudy's going to be okay with that knee and not have any complications after the 23 minutes he played last night. What's the best lineup for the Utah Jazz against this LA Clippers squad without Blake Griffin, do you think?
Without Blake Griffin, and you're looking at as far as a starting lineup,
yeah.
I mean, you got to go Rudy, and then I still like Boris starting. I like the idea of Derek Favors, Rodney Hood, and Joe Johnson right now coming off the bench because one of the biggest advantages the Jazz have in this series is their depth. The Clippers don't have that depth, and it was unfortunate in Game 4 that the Jazz weren't able to take advantage of that because it was actually the Clippers' depth that stepped up, with Jamal Crawford scoring 25 points. Raymond Felton made some big plays in that game as well. But they're thin. I mean, they got a 7, max 8-man rotation right now, and throwing Austin Rivers in the mix might change that a little bit. But that doesn't compare to being able to bring Derek Favors, Rodney Hood, and Joe Johnson off the bench. Those guys are really starters. And that's something the Jazz really need to take advantage of in these next 2 to 3 games, is to get that bench play to be a major factor in this series. And obviously Joe Johnson's been a major factor, but to get it all to happen at the same time. And hopefully Rodney Hood is going to build off some confidence from those two big shots he made last night late as well. That's real advantage for the Jazz, and I like the starting lineup because it allows them to bring those guys off the bench. So I would keep it the same now that Rudy's healthy to keep Boris at the four position and move forward with that same lineup and kind of same rotations.
Jeremiah Jensen is our guest talking a little Utah Jazz basketball on the IM Flash Hotline right now. Game 5 is tomorrow night against the Clippers in Los Angeles. Bear with me on a little hypothetical here related to, I guess, what would be the second round matchup if the Jazz get that far. If you took Quinn Snyder off the bench, how much would it affect this Utah Jazz team? Could they still win games or a series?
Boy, that's tough. I mean, I don't know. Quinn's not even experienced at this level. To ask one of his assistants to step up and be able to provide that kind of to step in that position with that kind of pressure and that kind of demand to come up with the kind of game plan that allows you to be successful when you're going head-to-head with some of the best coaches. I mean, in this series, I mean, Doc Rivers has won an NBA championship, and he's been through many battles in the postseason. So I think it would be a lot to ask, and I think you would have to lose something, and that's no disrespect to the assistants on that staff, but that's a lot to ask. And I know you're probably referencing what the Warriors are going through. Yeah, that's even with a veteran coach on your bench, that's a huge drop off you're going to have. It's just how it is. I mean, there's a reason why they pay the head coach the big bucks. You know, these guys are the best in the business, and when you lose them, it's just like losing an important player without having their presence there.
Well, obviously, I was referencing the Warriors, and do you think if it was Kevin Durant with more than just a calf strain, right, if he was out for the rest of the playoffs even potentially, we'd be talking about, wow, does this change the playoff landscape? If Steve Kerr doesn't feel better or doesn't feel better consistently enough that he – tries to get back on the bench because he has mentioned, I don't want to keep jumping on and off because that distracts the team and it's not fair to everybody else. Does this change the landscape of the Western Conference playoffs?
I would say maybe slightly. I would probably, and I just talked about Quinn. I think you look at the Jazz, and not having Quinn on the bench would be a much bigger blow for a young team like the Jazz that are inexperienced than a team like the Warriors that have won an NBA title, that have been to the NBA Finals, that have done what they've done the last three seasons. So I think the impact it will have is going to be a little less than it would be if it was a different team, because the Warriors are such a veteran club and have so many guys on that team that have been at the highest level, that have won a title and have been competing in so many big games. I think that will minimize it, but it will. I don't think there's any question about that.
I want to broaden the conversation, JJ, and ask you, what NBA playoff team/series has been most surprising to you?
Ooh, the most surprising so far.
Is it the Bucks?
Yeah, I think, the Bucks for sure, because of the wins that they had against the Raptors were so convincing. And I like that Bucks team. Giannis is incredible. But again, it's tied up at 2-2, and so the Raptors have evened that series. It was, until the last couple games, it was Boston and Chicago. I think Chicago going up and beating Boston the first two games was a stunner. And then to see Boston bounce back and win two in Chicago is interesting. So those are the first two that come to mind. And obviously this Jazz-Clippers series has been phenomenal. The other series in the West haven't been that – well, I guess look at Memphis coming back and tying it up at 2. So we're having a little bit of drama now, and I think that's really compelling. But you bring up that Bucks series, and I like that Bucks team. And they still got a shot. They're starting right now playing the Raptors. That would be a major upset. And then it's kind of exciting to see a young team with some exciting players or player on their team to come in and push a team that's been there, done that. So that is definitely one that I think is really compelling, that not a lot of people maybe are focused on or watching, because the Bucks and Raptors aren't teams that tend to move the needle.
Utah Jazz fans have put aside their concerns about Gordon Hayward's future, I think, for now, because everyone's just enjoying these playoffs. But Pacers fans don't get to do that, right? Pacers fans are now worried that they've seen the last of Paul George. A lot of that's going to have to do with if he's an all-NBA selection, because the money is so much greater for him. A $70 million dollar disparity between him signing with the Pacers as an all-NBA selection versus the max money he can get from another team. But what do you think – what are you hearing in NBA circles, and what do you think is going to happen with a player the quality of Paul George?
Well, the rumors out there, and it's starting to become the worst kept secret in the NBA, is he wants to move on and he wants to be in L.A. He's a California guy, and so that would make a lot of sense. Lakers, maybe Clippers, if the Clippers could work out some kind of deal. But that's where he wants to be. Now, getting there is a different story, and maybe he could work out something with the Pacers, but that's a tough spot. And maybe Jazz fans will be able to relate to this a little bit more when the playoffs end and we're staring at July 1st and Gordon's got to make his decision. But if you're the Indiana Pacers and the fans, and that's a great organization that has some passionate fans in Indiana, that's got to be really disappointing to feel like your superstar player who you've embraced can't wait to get out. I mean, that's a bad deal. And it would really be a setback for their organization to have to kind of rebuild in a way after you drafted this guy and helped him develop into the superstar he's become. But you saw some stuff in this playoff series from him that, I've got to take that last shot and stuff like that, that was a little unsettling. I think if you're running an organization and you got a guy that's saying that kind of stuff but doesn't back it up. So, I mean, he's never made a clutch shot in his career. That doesn't sound like a situation that's going to work out well for the Pacers. And if you're a Jazz fan, it's got to make you wonder a little bit how the summer might go as well. But I mean, not to compare Gordon with Paul George's situation, but at the same time, I mean, Gordon has a decision that he can make, and for the first time in his career, and it'll be interesting to see how it works out. But it's a little more uglier in Indiana than it certainly looks right here right now with the prospects of that player sticking around.
Taking things back to this Jazz Clippers matchup, I got to ask, I need your predictions, sir.
Okay.
3 games left in the series. What do you make of it all?
I like the momentum that the Jazz generated in that fourth quarter. They're going to Los Angeles with confidence. They've already won there before. The Clippers are banged up. They don't have Blake Griffin. The thing, I think the Jazz are going to win Game 5 and Game 6. I really do. They better, because I don't think they're going to win a Game 7 in L.A. If it works out that way. I just don't see it happen. It doesn't happen very often that a team's able to do that, win Game 7 on the road in the series. So I don't think they want to be in that position. But I do feel really confident that they can go down and steal Game 5. Kind of in a similar way. I mean, if you've got Rudy and Gordon back to where they can play at the level that they have in this series. Now, Rudy looked good last night. I thought he was terrific. Didn't look like he had any ill effects from that. They kept his minutes down, which is good. He should be fresh and ready to go Tuesday. You assume Gordon's fine. I like the Jazz chances because I don't see where the Clippers for back-to-back games are going to get enough scoring from somebody other than Chris Paul. And Chris Paul was, I think, one rebound shy of a triple-double. He had to play out of his mind to keep them in that game. And you had to have Jamal Crawford score 25 points. Who's going to step up and make up for the production that Blake Griffin usually delivers for that team? And that's my question mark with the Clippers right now. And if that doesn't take place, I really feel good about the Jazz being able to go down there, steal Game 5, and coming back here and winning Game 6. I really feel good about that.
Great minds think alike, JJ. I went on record, said the exact same thing. JJ Redick ain't going to be that guy anyway, is he?
He hasn't been so far in the series, that's for sure.
Jeremiah Jensen, JJ Sports Beat, thanks for making your first appearance ever on...
Hopefully it was memorable. Maybe not, but hey, maybe I can try better the next time.
Look, you... Well, I promise we'll have you back on.
I guess what I'm saying is, please have me on again. please give me another chance.
It's a success.
For sure going to happen again, JJ.
Awesome. You guys are the best. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Jeremiah Jensen.